Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
Well, again, we're so glad that you're here with us this Sunday morning, and we want to give a big shout out to everybody watching live online. Can we put our hands together? Hey, we're glad that you're watching. It's just our third week live streaming our services on Facebook Live and on our website, and that's a growing number of people, just like our church is growing physically here in the auditorium. And we got to give a shout out to those listening to the podcast too. You're on the treadmill, you're working hard. Come on, one more mile, you can do it. I struggle with just my 1 mile a few times a week, but anyways, I digress. So glad that you're here for our service and specifically this series. It's brand new, part two, like Dante said a moment ago. And really, if you're brand new, here's what you need to know. It's about relationships. It's about family, romantic relationships, non-romantic relationships. Today, we're going to hit a little bit of parenting and leadership mixed in. And really, no matter who you are, the message is really going to touch your heart. And so I hope that you came to church today wanting to be encouraged. Like, did anybody come today like to be discouraged because you came to the wrong house, okay? I came to encourage some folk today from God's word. And so if you came in a little heavy, I got good news. You're going to leave a little lighter knowing that God spoke to you and God stirred some things up. So we're going to have some fun. I want to give a couple of friendly reminders before we jump in. Fellas, listen up. Next Sunday, I want you to mark your calendar, talk to Alexa, Siri, Google Assistant. Make sure you're here next Sunday because we're going to talk about sex, okay? Now, some of you guys, you've never scheduled a church service in your life on your calendar, but you will this week, okay? So I'm going to help you out. Men that are married, I'm going to help you out next week. We're going to have some fun. And this is not the sex talk that you got in seventh grade that was so awkward. This is not going to be that talk. We're going to have some fun, and we're going to look to God's word and see what he has to say. And by the way, he has a lot to say on this subject. And then the week after that, October the 6th, that Sunday, we finish this series, and we're going to do something really special. We've done this one other time before, and it was well received. But my wife and I, we're actually going to preach that message together the last Sunday of this series. We're going to sit up here on stools, probably, and we're going to preach together. Yeah, you can clap your hands for that. And we're going to pull back the veil, and we'll share some funny stuff that it's funny now, but not funny when we went through it kind of stuff. And we'll just be real and transparent, and we're going to have some fun that week. But today I got a good one for you, like I said. So if you got a Bible with you, or maybe you got a Bible app, I want you to turn to the book of Psalms. It's 150 chapters in Psalms, so we're going to be in the 112th chapter, Psalm chapter 112. We're not going to read the whole thing. I'd encourage you to do that on your own study this week. But we're going to read six verses together, the first six verses. If you don't have a Bible, you're new to this whole church thing, somebody shared a link with you online, it's okay. I'm going to read it here in just a moment. But Psalm chapter 112, starting in verse 1 all the way through verse 6. And I'm going to get right in because I got a few things to say and only 1.5 hours to say it. Starting at verse 1, that's a joke. If you're here for the first time, praise the Lord. Good place to start. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in his commands. Verse 2, their children, I love this phrase, will be mighty in the land. Mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in their houses. Anybody like that part of that verse? And their righteousness endures forever. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright, for those who are gracious and compassionate and righteous. Good will come to those who are generous and lend freely, who conduct their affairs with justice. Verse 6, surely the righteous will never be shaken. They will never be shaken. They will be remembered forever. I'm calling this message today, never be shaken. Friend, I got good news for you today. No matter what life deals you, God wants you to live the type of life that you will never be shaken. Let's pray. Lord, we love you so much. And I just pray right now that you just get us ready to receive from your word. God, I'm excited about the message that you've given me coming directly out of Psalm chapter 112, verses 1 through 6. And God, I don't preach my opinion. God, I preach your word. And I know this, they know this, that anytime your word is communicated, it does not return void. That anytime it is preached, at any time it is received, it's 50-50. You do a wonderful work and you produce a great crop, a great fruit, a great harvest in our life. And so I pray, God, in the same way that I'm excited to preach your word, I pray, God, that you would build up excitement right now for them to receive the preaching of your word. And as I preach to them, may they preach back, and may we have a good time in your house, in your presence, as we learn about you. So we pray, God, not only would we read the Bible, but would the Bible read us today. We love you. We trust you, and Holy Spirit, do what you do best. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and if you believe it, can you say amen? Amen. Can you say amen? Amen. I really like this psalm for obvious reasons. If you don't like it, you're weird, okay? Because there's a lot of promises, good things written in just these six verses, and we're going to walk through them very closely. And whether you're a teenager, an adult, a parent, or a leader, God is going to encourage you in the next few minutes. But first, please hear me. Don't push me to the side. Hear this. First, you must understand something, that in order to get the blessings, the promises that are so clearly laid out here, in order to get them, and I know you want to get them, you cannot skip verse one. Many of us today, we want verses 2 through 6, and if you kept reading, we want way beyond that. Like, God, give me, give me, give me, bless me, bless me, bless me. I want those promises, and you'll be tempted to skip verse 1. But can I tell you something today? You will never get verses 2 through 6 unless you do verse 1. Well, Pastor, we read that like 30 seconds ago, but I already forgot. What's it say? Blessed are those who fear the Lord, in those who delight in his commands. You will never get the rest of the verses unless you get that first verse. Blessed are those who fear God and delight in his commands. Let me put it in a simple formula, okay? This may just be like way beneath you because you're some Bible scholar, but I think it will help a few of us today, okay? Real simple. Fear plus obedience equals blessing. So if you want blessing, there must be fear and obedience. But here's where we go when we think of fear, because I know we got some Bible scholars in the room. You're like, doesn't the Bible say, Pastor, that he's not giving me a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind? We're not talking about fear of man. We're talking about fear of God. And that's actually a really, really healthy thing. And so if you like taking extra notes today, write down what biblical fear looks like when you're talking about the fear of God. Three things. Number one, it's reverence. It's reverence. Revering God, that he is God. And can I tell you something good today? You are not God. Like, he is Lord. Like, he, like, y'all remember that saying we got here in the deep south? Anybody listening like from New York, you won't get this, but some of us get a little too big for our britches. You know what I'm talking about? Like, we just think we better than we are. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Like we would revere God. That's just what this word means. We revere him. Here's the second thing. You got to get this. We would respect God in the same way that you would respect an elder. In the same way you would respect somebody that maybe is your boss or your boss's boss or somebody who sacrificed a lot for our nation. In the same way, and really in a greater way, we would respect the Lord. And here's the last thing, that this fear word, it's all wrapped together, and it's honor. That we would honor the Lord. If you want the blessing, and I know you do, you've got to honor the Lord. In the same way that we're called to honor our current president and our former president and any president's past and any president future. Can I get an amen in God's house? Okay. Not a Republican, Democrat, independent thing. Like, we are called to honor. It's biblical. Okay. You don't have to approve of the agenda. That's about as political as I get. Just honor everybody that God has placed in authority over you. But in the same way we would honor them, that we would honor God. That's what this fear piece means. And what about obedience? It's simple. If God tells you to do something, do it. Like, I know you maybe want to overcomplicate it, but it's really not that complicated. If God says, go here, go here. If God says, break off that friendship because it's pulling you down, break off that friendship. If God says, you got to stop hanging out at this place because bad things usually happen, you need to stop hanging out at that place. If God says, stop saying that or being that kind of person, that negative, pessimistic person, then you better stop doing that. Fear plus obedience equals blessing. And so I'm about to give you some great news, and hopefully there's going to be some preaching back. Remember, that's approved at this house. Like, we're going to have some fun, but you cannot forget verse 1. I'm a poet, and I didn't even know it, y'all. Like, verse 1 is critical. Some of y'all caught on way late. Y'all got to hang with me today. Come on, turn your mind on. Turn your mind on. Let's go. All right, here's the first one. Number 1, generational legacy. It's a promise from God that you would have generational legacy, verses 2 through 3. Their children will be mighty in the land. Wealth and riches are in their houses. This is amazing, isn't it? Like, this is an incredible promise from God that when we honor God and when we walk in obedience to God, God doesn't just bless us personally, He blesses people around us. It like hits you and then hits like 3 or 4 other people around you. It's amazing. You got kids and grandkids. God doesn't just bless you. He blesses them. He blesses our family. It's an incredible thing. Can I tell the parents something today? God gives your kids and your grandkids favor. He makes them mighty in the land. It's not just a financial piece. It's way beyond that if you do the biblical research, that they would be mighty everywhere that they go, that they would shine. This is a promise. But maybe you're listening today and you've got a teenager and this really isn't lining up. Maybe your kids are grown now and they got kids of their own, but it's not really lining up. Can I ask you a really tough question today? Because remember, God's promises are yes and amen. So can I ask you a tough question? Is the problem with your teenager and the problem with your adult children, is the problem maybe not with them, but with you? Are you maybe forgetting verse 1? Bless my kids, bless me, bless me, bless me, gimme, gimme, gimme. But you've forgotten verse 1. How many of y'all know it's really easy to go back to that old adage that we use as parents sometimes, do as I say, but not what I do? To hold our children to a standard that we don't even live up to ourselves. So maybe, this is parenting, this is leadership 101, maybe instead of blaming them, why don't you look at the man or the woman in the mirror, okay? Because God, when He makes a promise, you can take it to the bank. You can cash that check no matter what. It's a promise if you do verse 1. Generational legacy. It's a powerful thing, mighty in the land. Now, y'all know I'm not perfect, and in fact, I told some stories last week. We had some fun. We laughed at my expense. It was great. I won't repeat it. You can catch it on the website or on YouTube or on the podcast. But I'm not perfect, and not just like verbal faux pas we talked about last week, but just even my life in general. And my kids aren't perfect, and I appreciate y'all letting us be imperfect people going after a perfect God. But I see this in my life. Even though I miss it, and even though I'm not perfect, I see God not just blessing my family, but blessing my kids. We've got a 6-year-old and an almost 2-year-old. Our son is 6, and our daughter is almost 2. Her son's name is Luke, and I see this in his life especially because our daughter, like, she's just with us all the time. She's not out and about. Our son's in first grade, and so he's going out, and he's interacting with different people even without us being there, and then we see God's favor. We see God's blessing. I'll give you one example. It was a couple months ago in the summer, and I was picking up Chick-fil-A with my son. Y'all know Holy Chicken, Blessed Chicken. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Not open on Sundays chicken, okay? And so we were picking up Chick-fil-A, and that's not abnormal, but what was a little abnormal, it was my son and me just by ourselves. And I was rolling in my 2006 white Toyota Corolla, y'all. Like, we were riding really, really good. Like, really, really good. We used to call that fly, you know, like just we were a fly. And so anyways, we were riding in the Corolla, and I was in the front seat driving, just in case you were wondering. He was not driving, I was. In the front seat driving, he was right directly behind me in his car seat. And how many of y'all know, like, Chick-fil-A's great, but like the line wraps around 14 times when you get there. Now, they're fast, okay? And they like to tell you how fast they are. Y'all ever seen those signs? We serve this many people. We serve 1,000 people in this lunch hour. Y'all seen those signs? Like, come on, Chick-fil-A, don't brag on yourself. But like 14 times around. And so we were waiting there a couple months ago. And since it was wrapped around, there was people coming from all different directions. And so at different times when I've been to Chick-fil-A, maybe you can relate. Sometimes it gets a little cloudy, like who's next to turn into the order area? Because you got somebody on this side, somebody on that. So sometimes like a little bit cloudy. But in this moment, y'all, God is my witness. Would not lie to you from the platform, okay? And so God is my witness. Like it was my turn, okay? Like it was my turn. I was ready for some holy chicken, okay? I was hungry. I was hangry. All of the above. And so it's obvious, like seriously, it's obvious. It's my turn to turn in. And all of a sudden, the audacity of this woman, all of a sudden, she cuts me off and pulls in. Can I tell y'all, I made a noise. It was not a godly noise. I promise there were no words involved out loud, okay? I promise you. Promise you. So I made this noise. And all of a sudden, I hear from the back seat, my son's like, Dad, why'd you make that noise? And just by the way, just a little side note, parents, your kids are always watching you, okay? Just letting you know, he's six, and he already caught on. And I said, son, this lady, she needs to get saved. She cut me off. No, I didn't say that. I said, son, we rebuked this lady, and I didn't say that. I said, son, I was upset. She cut me off. Should have been us there. I mean, it's going to delay us like 20 seconds, but I was upset about it. But I'm going to let it go. This is really what I said. I'm going to let it go. And so I let it go, and we both rolled down our windows because this was in the summer, and we're just kind of like playing drums on the side of the car, and I'm just trying not to think about this. Like, isn't it just ridiculous that the littlest things can like set us back, you know, like ruin parts of our days? Maybe not you because you're holy, but me, it like affects me. And just try not to think about her, and we're just having a good time. We order our food, and the lady, of course, in front of us now, she orders her like food, and she jets off, and there we are. And sometimes we'll do this where I won't pay, but like I'll hand the card to my son and let him pay. Like, it's just a big deal for him. He's six. He feels like he's 16 when he does that. And so I give him the card. I pull past the drive-thru window, the checkout lady there. I pull past it on purpose so he can pay. He reaches out his card to pay, and the woman looks at my son and says, you know what? We actually don't need your money. And he's looking at me, and I'm looking at, like are we the 100th customer? Like, what's going on here? You know? Do they still do that? I don't know if they do. It's been a while for me. It happened once in my life, and it was like 8 years ago. But like, what's happening? You know, is this a mistake? And the woman explains. She says, you know, sir, the reason why your food is free is because that lady in front of you paid for your meal. And the reason why she paid for your meal is because the whole time, this is what she told the lady before she sped off, the whole time your son was like, mouthing to her, like smiling at her. They were doing like sign language or something. And because of his great attitude, she's like, I'm gonna pay for their meal. Now keep in mind a little subtext here. This was during our summer fruit series. You can't make this stuff up, y'all. The day before I had preached on kindness. Like day before, and how many of y'all know, like, God was already testing me, are you going to practice what you preach? And obviously, I didn't, so forgive me, Lord, but my son did, and I'm like, whose kid is this? Not my kid. I can preach on it, but I can't live it out at Holy Chicken Place, you know? It's like, come on. But this is just one tiny example. My wife and I could go on and on of God's favor on our son. I've told you before that this dude gets candy at the dentist's office. God's favor upon him. So let me encourage the parents today. You don't have to be perfect. Like even in your imperfection, if you will fear the Lord and obey what God asks you to do, he will bless you and your family. Generational legacy. Don't you want that? It's a promise that you can hold on to. Here's the second point. It just keeps getting better and better today. Number two, God promises that dawn is coming. Dawn is coming. Beginning of verse 4, even in darkness, light dawns for the upright. You know, it's interesting to me that the Bible here and in many other places, it never promises a lack of pain or a lack of problems. In fact, if you research your Bible, and hopefully you will, you can read Old Testament and New Testament, and a lot of people who surrendered their life to God, their earthly life got worse. Study the Apostle Paul's life. And so there's a false doctrine out there, especially in America, that if you give your life to Jesus, everything will be perfect. And if everything's not perfect, something's wrong with you. And friend, that is a false doctrine. It is false. I'm going to give you a chance to surrender your life to Jesus at the end of the service. We do it every single week. And I will never promise you that your life will be perfect after it, but God will be with you even in the mess. And he'll never leave you. So the promise is never zero problems. The promise is an end one day to the problems. The promise is not an absence of darkness. The promise for believers is that dawn is coming, that light is rising in every individual situation, but also that God would cause us to rise up and be a light in dark places. So let me encourage you right now, friend, because some of us are so upset at our current situation. Oh, Pastor, if you only knew how bad it is. Pastor, if you only knew how stubborn my husband is. Pastor, if you only knew what I'm going through in my physical body. Some of us are so frustrated with our problem. We're so frustrated with our situation that we end up missing the hidden power. See, you're missing something today. You see, God will work out things for good in your life. God will make a way. God will turn things around. So what if, just think with me for a moment. What if you began to see your current problem from a different light? What if you began to see the mess that you're in from a different angle, a different perspective? What if you actually saw it as a setup by God? That God is setting you up for something better, something more significant. Well, Pastor, I don't have a job right now. How can you put something rosy on that? Could it not maybe be that God's setting you up for a better job than you had before? Like, could God be developing your faith and making you stronger because you've been weak before? Well, Pastor, I'm not married right now, and I want to be. Could God maybe be setting you up for the spouse of your dreams, but he's got to refine you first, and he's got to refine them first because they're not that person yet, and you're not that person yet. Do you see what I'm saying? Dawn is coming. Light is rising. It will work out in time. Well, Pastor, why do I have this affliction? And why do I have this problem? I don't know, friend. I'm not God. But if you begin to trust in the Lord, to trust that he's never given a bad gift in his life, to trust that he always turns things around, that he's the good maker, if you would do that, then faith would rise up on the inside of you and you could shout out loud, dawn is coming. It's darkest before the sun rises, but dawn is coming. Can I remind you of something today? In fact, I think this is profound. If I'm taking notes, I'm writing this down. But all of the miracles Jesus performed, they all started with a problem. Just think about that today. Every single miracle that Jesus performed, they all started with a problem. Think of how crazy this must sound to God. Many of us have prayed this, myself included. Like, God, I want to live a life of miracles. I pray this for this church. Like, God, we want you to do miracles here. But then God allows a problem to rise up and we get mad at God. Like, think about how crazy this sounds. Friend, the only prerequisite for a miracle is a problem. Like, are y'all with me today? Are you tracking? Like, this is profound. See your problems from a different light. Maybe God is setting you up to see the greatest miracle you've ever seen in your life. I don't know about y'all, but I'm receiving that word. If y'all don't take it, I'll grab it, okay? Like, see it from a different perspective. The only prerequisite for a miracle is a problem. So yes, it's dark right now, but it's always darkest before the sunrise. I got a promise in my pocket, and I'm holding on to it because God's promises are yes and amen. Come on, somebody shout, dawn is coming. Come on, somebody shout, dawn is coming. It's coming. It's coming. Receive this from God, and this is a word for somebody. I wrote this down. It is always too early to give up. If that's your word, you snatch it. You don't share it with anybody. You hold it close to your heart. If that's your word, it is always too early to give up on your marriage, friend. It is always too early to give up on your kids. I know they're adults now and they've got kids of their own. It is always too early to give up on them. It is always too early to give up on your godly or your friendship. I'm telling you, friend, it is always too early to give up on that dream that God gave you 10 years ago. It's too early to give up. Don't you dare quit now. I love this. If it's not working out right now, that just means that God's not done. God's not done. I don't know if I said it yet, but dawn is coming. Number three, blessed to be a blessing. God will cause us to be blessed to be a blessing. I want you to know there's no hoarding when it comes to God's people. Verse 5, good will come to those who are generous and lend freely, who conduct their affairs with justice. I know you want this for your life, but God wants more for you than your current situation. Less debt, or better yet, no debt at all. Can I get an amen in God's house? That you would be the lender and not the borrower. That you would pay down that debt and be debt free. Emphasis on free. That's what God wants for you. God's got that promise for you and I. If you're a believer, it's what God's called us to, but it takes a mindset change. Because many of us have said this and thought this before. Well, I will be more generous when I make more money. Pastor, pray for me to win the lottery, because when I win the lottery, like, I want to be generous. Like, Pastor, pray for this thing, because when this happens, like, when I get this, like, then I'll be. Do you know that most studies actually show that the more money people make, the less percentage they give away? Can I use Bible language for a moment? If God can't trust you with little, why would he dare trust you with much? And so God's called you not to be a hoarder, but to bless you and then you bless others. And we're not just talking about finances, even though we are, but to bless you, and it doesn't stay with you, it works through you. It's what God has called you to as a believer in Jesus Christ. I want you to think about this for a moment. Think about the most blessed person that you know. Like, picture who they are, their name, okay? The most blessed person you know. I would be willing to bet that they were also the most generous person that you know. I'm telling you, we are blessed to be a blessing. And it's not just something I'm saying that you need to do. I want you to know that I'm living this out. God is my witness. I'm living this out way before we got to this church and long after we've been here, 22 months now. Like, we are living this out. Our staff is living this out. Our elders are living this out. I want you to know that our church is living this out. Can I give you some exciting reports today? I know you didn't come ready for a report, all right? But it's going to encourage you, and you're going to get excited about it because I know your heart. I know how you operate. One of the big things on my heart coming here 22 months ago is I wanted to move our church to where we would get to the point where we budgeted this. Like, it was in the budget for us in 1 year. Our fiscal year is October through September. So in my heart before coming here is that in 1 year, we would eventually get to the place where we gave away 10% of our budget. Like, that was in my heart. That literally the church would tithe. That we would be generous. Now read your Bible like I've read my Bible. There's nowhere where it says the church should tithe. The people, us, the body, yes, we should. But we want to model that for you. We want to model the type of church that we're going to be generous locally, nationally, and internationally. And I got to tell you, friend, this current year, because we had a couple weeks left in our fiscal year, this current year, we took a huge jump, the elders and I, and we bumped that up to 7.2%. That's where we were. That was a long ways from where we were before, but the elders and I, with God's help, we moved that direction. Can I tell you something really exciting and really awesome? And I think you're going to love this. But because God has been so faithful to us this year, not just numerical growth, but financial growth, because God's been so faithful, on your behalf, we voted a couple weeks ago to bump up to 9% this current year. Isn't that awesome? Now, if you don't like giving to missions, don't clap. But if you like giving to missions, you should clap for this stuff, okay? Because this is exciting, all right? If you don't like missions, just don't clap, okay? Just be your whole, like, just love you, but all right, keep moving. So we bumped it up to 9%, which means before this fiscal year was over, that we gave a couple of missionaries like big bonuses. How many of y'all know they liked that call from me this last week? Because so often people in churches, they fall off. They say we're going to give one thing and they give none of it sometimes. So not only were we able to give a couple bonuses, people that are really kicking tail and taking names, y'all, like they're stomping on the devil. I mean, there's good stuff that they're doing. And so not only did we do that, but we also, this last week, I went to the Pregnancy Help Center of West Houston, and I handed the director a $1,500 check on your behalf saying we believe in what you do. Again, if you don't like it, don't clap. But if you like it, why don't you clap with me today? Because that's exciting. What do, Pastor? They encourage women to keep their babies. And I don't know about y'all, but that's a cause I like to support. I get excited about it. So I did that on your behalf. We didn't ask you, but we figured you'd be okay with it. So we did that. Not only that, it keeps getting better and better. We bumped up our upcoming fiscal year to 9% already. Okay, missions giving. So we're right on the doorstep of 10%. That means bumping up current missionaries some money, but also that means taking on two brand new missionaries in this upcoming year. I'm telling you, friend, God is on the move. We want to be generous. It gets a little bit better than that. Talking about being the lender and not the borrower. You need to know something today. This isn't a PSA for our church, but this will help you that we are living out what we're telling you to do. We have zero debt at the church. Like, did you know that? Zero. Did you know we also don't have a mortgage payment? Don't you want you some of that? I do. I do. Another thing God put on my heart is that each year as we keep growing, this is the only way this would work, that each year we would budget the upcoming budget off of 90% of what came in the year before. So not only to be 10% going out generous, but also built in without growth, and y'all can see we are growing, but built in 10% savings. I got an encouragement for you today. We didn't get all the way to 90%, but we got to 94% this upcoming fiscal year. 6% savings built in. I don't know about y'all, but I get excited. Can I tell you, this is what God has called us to be, that we would be blessed to be a blessing, that God would not just give us stuff and money and increase, but we would use it to bless others. That's what God wants to do. Here's the last point, number four. It's where I get my title. Y'all know I'm preaching good when I'm filling up my sweat rag with sweat. Number four, never be shaken. I'm going to leave you encouraged. Never be shaken. Verse 6, surely the righteous will never be shaken. They will be remembered forever. Again, the promise isn't that you'll never be in shaky situations, friend. Don't you dare get it twisted from God's word. The promise is that you will never be shaken. So, okay, it was a bad report from the doctor. Not what you were hoping for, not what you were expecting and believing for, but the report on your health should not change the report on your God. God's called you to never be shaken, okay? I never thought that relationship would end like that. I didn't want it to end at all. But just because the relationship has ended, friend, doesn't change any part of your relationship with the Lord. God never promises zero problems. God never promises that your life won't be shaking around you. What he does promise is that you can live the kind of life where you are never shaken. Y'all remember that game we would play like growing up years and years ago called King of the Hill? You didn't play that game. I'm sorry for your childhood, okay? That was a good one. King of the Hill. King of the Hill. Like it got rough, bloody noses, throwing elbows. I mean, it was good, y'all. It was fun. Like kids nowadays, you know, like they get a paper cut and they got to go to the ER. You know, just how it works. I'm not making fun of other people's kids. I'm making fun of my kids, man. My kids, anytime they get like anything, it could be an old wound. And when I say wound, like a tiny little millimeter scratch. It could be from 3 months ago. Dad, I need a Band-Aid. I need a Band-Aid. Like that's just the world that we live in. But King of the Hill was awesome. Because once you finally got on top of that hill, man, you made sure that no one could take you off that hill. Right? Like they could gang up on you. They could go after your ankles, after your kneecaps. I'm telling you, man, we played dirty where I grew up in Mesquite, Texas. Like they could do whatever they wanted to try to get you down. But you stood your ground. You're like, this is my hill. It's got my name on it. Don't you dare try to pull me down from this spot. And friend, that's the kind of faith that God wants you to have. That even when your life is pulling at you, even when people fight dirty, even when they're coming after your family, even when your job and your boss is saying things about you that are not true, even when life is at its worst, you are standing your ground. You are never shaken because God is with you. I hope y'all getting it today. I stomp anymore, I'm going to break this platform, okay? Like, I hope y'all receiving this today. This is the life that God has called you to, that I will be steadfast. I will never be shaken. A righteous person doesn't fall away from their trust and their belief in God, even when things turn negative. In the same way that no one could talk you out of gravity, no one should ever be able to talk you out of your faith and trust in God, that he will never leave you. Can I speak this prophetically over you in this church? Friends, we will never be shaken. We will persevere. We will hold on to Jesus. We will trust in his promises. He will come through. He will help. He will bless. He will provide. He will make a way. Do you receive it today? The promises of God are yes and amen. Close your eyes with me, bow your heads. Holy Spirit, we thank you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you that you are good. Thank you that you are the way maker. You're the chain breaker. Thank you that nothing is too hard for you. Nothing is too challenging for you. And with all eyes closed, heads bowed, if you're able to, even watching and listening online, I pray for us right now that we would leave this message encouraged by your holy word. That if we fear you, revere, respect, and honor you, and if we act and live as obedient children, that if we do those things, you will bring the blessing that you promise generational legacy. You promise that even though things aren't great right now, dawn is coming. You promised to bless us, not so we can hoard the blessing, but that we could be generous and compassionate and lend freely, that we would be blessed to be a blessing. And God, you've called us to live the kind of life where we stand firm, that we would never be shaken, that even when life and even the devil himself, when he gives us the worst curveball, he throws it our way, that we would be able to handle it, not because of ourselves, but because of you. Because as a believer, a follower of Jesus, greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. We are filled with Holy Spirit power as followers of you, the way. And so when we triumph and when things are made good in the end, we don't stick out our chest or point people to ourselves. We point people to you because you're the one that helps us to live a life that can never be shaken. Keep your eyes closed, your heads bowed all across this house and those that are watching, listening online if you're able to. No one distracting, no one moving for keys or anything like that. We're going to get there in just a moment as we dismiss, just minutes from now. But right where you're at today, I want to give you an opportunity, like I said at the beginning of the message, to surrender your life to Jesus. I don't know what baggage you came in with today. Maybe it even felt like you were going to the airport because you had two giant bags spiritually that you were tugging in behind you. And almost as you sat down, it's like, there's not even room beside you because there's just all this stuff, all this weight. Like, I don't know what you're carrying today, friend. But I've got more good news. Jesus wants to exchange burdens with you. Jesus wants to heal you. Jesus wants to set you free. Jesus is extending out an offer today that if you surrender your life to him, he will take way better care of you than you can. That even when life gets tough, and it will, he'll be there to help. That when you pass from this earth, like we all will one day, that you can know that your last breath here on earth will be followed by your first breath in heaven, spending eternity with Jesus, worshiping his holy name. That invitation is here for you today. I won't embarrass you. I won't call you to the front. We won't usher you off to another room. But right where you're seated, right where you're listening or watching online, you can surrender your life to Jesus. It's real simple, actually. It's a prayer of confession, prayer of belief that begins your journey with Jesus. It follows what God's lined out in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. So I'm going to lead the church family in that prayer, a repeat after me prayer. And if that's you, for the first time or the first time in a long time, that you want to surrender your life to Jesus, that's your opportunity right here, right now. So with no one looking but me, I want to know who I'm praying for today. If you want to surrender your life to Jesus, if you want to repeat that prayer in a moment, would you raise your hand right where you're seated? Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you so much. You can put it down. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Anyone else? God's moving. Respond online. We see you. God sees you. He knows you. He loves you. Anybody else? Yes, I see that hand. Thank you so much. You can put it down. Anybody else? God is so good. Keep those eyes closed. This prayer is not a magical prayer. Don't get it twisted. This prayer is simply a confession of your faith, believing what Jesus did on the cross, asking Jesus to forgive you of your sin because he's the only one who truly can. And if you'll say this out loud after me, those that raise their hand, and if you'll mean it with your heart, God will save you. It's a beautiful thing. So those that raise your hand in this room and any that raise your hand online, and also all the Christ followers, Jesus lovers in the room, say this out loud. Dear Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross, that you rose from the dead. And so I ask you to forgive me of every mistake, of every sin. Make me new. Jesus, I put my trust, my faith in you and you alone. Holy Spirit, help me to live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen and amen. Can somebody get a little rowdy and thank God for what he did? Amen.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcov.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at christcov.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ's Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at Christ Cove Houston.